verses 1 through 4. And it talks about who Jesus Christ is and why we worship Him and what He has done and can do for us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. Why do we focus on Jesus? Why do we give our devotion, our worship to Him? What is it about Jesus? What is it about Him that He is able to touch our lives, change us, bring us out of the depths of our sin? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us here, and briefly this morning, briefly, the scripture here is very clear that we, if we will embrace Jesus Christ in our life, if we will embrace Him, God's Son, the Supreme One, He is God's final revelation, and His victory, watch this, His victory provides salvation and new life for us. This Supreme One, this One who came to the earth, can bring victory to our lives. He is the Supreme One. As we read these verses, He's the heir of all things. Time doesn't allow me to go through every phrase. I'm going to probably turn this into a two-part message. But He is the heir of all things. God has given Him all things. He is the final revelation to us. As God has spoken in the past, now God has spoken finality through Christ. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the powerful One. He has provided salvation for us and purification for our sins. God does not just require us to come and grovel and hope somehow that it's sufficient, that if I can just grovel enough, if I can just do enough good to somehow outweigh my sins, somehow outweigh the bad, somehow make up for all the things that I've done. Or maybe you're here today and you think you're a pretty good person. Maybe you're here and you don't have too many issues, too many problems. Maybe life has been good for you. Maybe you've had a charmed life and you think, I'm a pretty good person. You know, God, I've got some really good things to offer you. What is it about Jesus that you need? Well, the word here says He's provided purification for our sins. And in that, we understand He's given us new life. He can give us new life. Do you know Him? Do you know the Supreme One? Do you know Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about do you know Him in your head. Do you know Him in your heart? Have you met Him? Have you come to Him in a transforming way in your life? Do you know Him this morning? Let's break it down just a few minutes that we have together. This Supreme One, this Son of God, who can change our lives, who can overcome anything and everything in our lives. He's the Supreme One because of who He is. Who He is. You see, it's all about Jesus. Yeshua in the Hebrew. It's all about Jesus, the Christ or the Messiah, the Anointed One, God's Son. It's all about Him because God sent Him to be the final statement to us. God sent Him because, you see, we've had the record of God's workings with His people over the millennia. We've been studying in the Old Testament Sunday School class how God began choosing a people for Himself through Abraham. And how through Abraham He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and I'll make you into a great nation. And out of you will come a people. They will be blessed. And out of you a people will become as numerous as the sands on the seashore. And guess what? I'm giving you My law, and you will be a kingdom of priests for Me upon the earth. Wow. See, priests are people that stand between God and man. Priests are people that are supposed to represent God to the other people. And so God wanted a people that would represent Him to all the other peoples on the earth, because that's the last part of the blessing, the covenant. He said, and through you, all the peoples on the earth will be blessed. So God had spoken through the millennia. God had spoken through the prophets. As it says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. That's what the Old Testament is, a record. The Old Testament is the record of how God spoke to His people over the millennia. Through the prophets. Sometimes, let's admit, sometimes it was weird. Do you remember how God spoke through Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, I want you to go get naked and lay in the city square. How many of you want that assignment? That's a tough one. How about how He spoke through Hosea? He said, Hosea, I want you to go, and I want you to go marry a prostitute. She will be a woman of adultery, and you will bear children of adultery. You have an adulterous wife, a wife that leaves you and forsakes you because My people, Israel, have forsaken Me and have been adulterous to Me. Anybody want that assignment? And on we could go with the prophets, how God spoke to them. And finally, because we rejected the prophets, His own people rejected the prophets, killed them, stoned them, and God said, I'm going to send My Son. I'm going to send My Son, and I'm going to send Him in the likeness of flesh. And He is the fullness and the finality of God's revelation to us, God's opening up of the truth, of His truth to us. You see, He sends His Son. He is the one who fulfills all the prophecies about the Messiah, the coming one, the anointed one. He is the one who reveals God and reveals God's truth to us. We read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, this Word, this spoken forth Word of God, came and He put on flesh. Jesus, the Word, put on skin and flesh and bones and lived among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, full of grace and truth. We saw the Father through the Son, the only begotten, begotten, not created, from the Father, full of grace and truth. Later on, Jesus prays in John chapter 17, and He's praying for us as He prays for His own 12 disciples, and He's praying for us because He says, Father, I pray not only for these that You've given Me, but I pray for the ones that are coming. I pray for the ones in the future that will come to believe in Me. Did you know that? That Jesus in the garden prayed for you and for me. You see, there's a lot of things that the disciples were called to do, and they lived in a particular day, they lived in a particular culture, and we can't do those things necessarily. But you see, He prayed also for us. And here's what Jesus prays. He says, I have revealed You, Father, to those whom You have given Me out of the world. Let them know You. Father, here's my heart. Here's my prayer for them. And not only for them, but for the ones that will believe in Me in the future. Let them know You, Father, and let them know Your Son, Jesus Christ, and have eternal life. Have life to the full. Jesus prayed for us. You see, He is Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew. He is the Christ, the Messiah, God's final revelation to us, fully God and fully man. The God-man. And the Word says here that in these last days, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? The book of Hebrews was probably written about AD 70 or a little bit later. And He says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. You see, those last days began right then. From the day of Pentecost on, the last days were beginning. And I believe we're in the last of the last days. I believe we're in the period of time where we're moving towards the end of the last days. We see all around us what's happening. But He's spoken to us through the Son. The Word says here that He has spoken to us through His Son and given us the final revelation of truth. And here's what Jesus says to you and to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. It doesn't matter what your burden is today. You see, your burden could be alcohol, as our brother Paul shared. And by the way, I believe it's to the credit of this congregation. There's a lot of people that you didn't know about that, did you? You didn't know about Paul. You didn't know. Some of you wondered, well, I haven't seen Paul where's Paul? Where's Paul? And some of you didn't know that. Because you see, we're not interested in sharing, you know, people's stuff. We're interested in people receiving help. Now, let's just be honest here. We are real. What you see, what you get. What you see is what you get here in this congregation. This is not a museum for saints. This is a hospital for sinners. And then God calls us to get out of the hospital. Listen, God calls us to get out of the hospital and become an army that sends forth His message of hope and reconciliation to a dying world. So, we have a hospital and we're called to be an army. We're His people. And God says to every one of us, whatever your burden is, whatever it is that has been holding you back, your sin, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I believe Paul experienced the Lord's heart, the gentleness, but also the yoke. You see, you don't just come to Jesus and just do whatever you want to do. It doesn't work that way. He says, take my yoke. You get yoked together with Jesus. Listen, there's some folks that have been here. You've been come to this church as long as I've been here or longer. And you love Jesus and you want to serve Him, but you're not yoked with Him. You're not yoked with Jesus. And you see, Jesus said, come to me. I will take your burdens. He says, take my yoke upon you. This is Jesus' terms. You got to come to Jesus on Jesus' terms. And some of you are out there, you're trying to bear your own burden. You want Jesus to take your burden. But He says, you have to take my yoke upon you. And when you do that, believe me, I will give you rest. I've never yoked oxen together. You understand what a yoke is. A yoke is a long wooden pole, in a sense, but it's shaped with some curves on it, and it yokes two oxen together. It fits around their neck. It has loops down on the bottom, and it fits two oxen together, and it forces them to work together. Whether you're plowing with them or you're dragging something, it forces them to work together. You see, so the one oxen, he can't go off that way on his own because he's yoked together with that other one. And this one, he can't stop because he wants to, because the other oxen is yoked with him, and he's going to push him forward. Listen, you and I need the yoke of Jesus in our lives. Some of you are trying to live this life without Jesus' yoke, and you think you're free, but you're not. You still have your yoke on you. You're still bound up with whatever it is that the sin has yoked you in your life. And there is only freedom in the yoke of Christ. There's only freedom in the yoke of Christ. And you need that yoke of freedom in your life. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and play that last song again. Play that beautiful song. And as they come, as they are preparing, we're going to close the service. Our hour has disappeared, but what a wonderful hour it's been. Amen? And as we sing together, I'm going to invite you to stand. Go ahead and stand right now. And some of you, you need to come and lay your burden down, and you need to take up the yoke of Christ. ask my elders and a couple of my deaconesses to come on up and be available for prayer. Those that might come, you might say, Pastor, I've never been in church like this. I've never been in a place where they just openly talk about their sin. And you know what? None of that matters. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what background you are. You know, oh, I used to go to such and such church. I was raised in such. It doesn't, none of that matters. What matters is that Jesus is here by His Spirit. And if you'll let Him, listen, if you'll let Him, He will give you freedom today. It's going to be a process. Some of you, you've been yoked in your life by sin for a long time. And it's not magic. It just doesn't appear overnight. There are exceptions, and praise God for that, but most of us, we need to come to an altar and lay it down and get yoked to Jesus. Amen? If that's you, as we begin to sing, Jeff, you'll begin to lead us. If that's you, you come. You come.